OpenSSH 10.4 released. This is the kind of story that gets 87 points on HN with minimal drama because OpenSSH is critical infrastructure that quietly works and the team maintains an excellent security record. The 10.4 release includes some notable changes to the default cipher suites, deprecating some older algorithms in alignment with post-quantum cryptography preparation, and several improvements to the SFTP subsystem. The HN comments were brief because there's not much to argue about. OpenSSH remains one of the best-maintained open-source security projects in existence.
The learning to code is still worthwhile piece from Steve Krause generated 223 comments with 230 points, a very high comment to score ratio that suggests real disagreement. The piece is a thoughtful defense of the value of programming education at a moment when a lot of people are arguing that AI coding assistance will make traditional programming skills obsolete. Krause's argument isn't that nothing is changing. It's that the skills that remain valuable are shifting toward higher-level reasoning about systems, problem decomposition, and understanding what correct behavior looks like, rather than syntax and API memorization.
The HN comment thread broke into several distinct factions. One camp agreed with Krause, but wanted to specify that it's not just learning to code generically, it's developing a mental model of computation that helps you use AI tools effectively. Another camp argued that the threshold for worthwhile is dropping even as coding skills remain valuable, meaning the return on investment in deep programming expertise may be declining relative to other skills. A third camp was more contrarian, arguing that Krause is too optimistic and that within 5 years, the gap between vibe coding with AI and professional software engineering will be so narrow that the distinction won't support a meaningful wage premium.
The sequencing your own DNA at home piece is a remarkable window into where consumer genomics has gotten. Bradley Wolf's write-up describes sequencing his own genome using Oxford Nanopore's MinION device, a USB sequencer the size of a thumb drive, combined with cloud analysis tools. Total cost for a whole genome sequence is now under $500 in reagents if you're willing to do the lab work yourself. For context, the Human Genome Project cost roughly $2.7 billion and took 13 years to sequence a single human genome. The democratization here is real.
The Delos story is the kind of thing that makes HN special. Delos are concrete interlocking shapes. They look like jacks from a child's toy game, but scaled up to several tons, used as wave breakers in harbor and coastal protection. They were invented in East London, South Africa in 1963 by Eric Merrifield and have been deployed on coastlines on every continent. The piece is really about how a piece of engineering knowledge can become genuinely global while the origin story fades. 71 points and a warm comment thread.
The Rotman lens is another piece of engineering elegance. It's a microwave beamforming device that uses a carefully designed curved transmission line structure to steer antenna beams without active phase shifters. Originally developed in the 1960s, it's experiencing renewed interest because it's passive, no electronics required for beam steering, which makes it attractive for millimeter wave 5G, and now some radar applications. The Wikipedia article apparently got significantly improved recently, which is what prompted the HN post.
Now let's get into our what if we're wrong discussion, because there's a claim embedded in today's AI coverage that deserves serious scrutiny. The GLM 5.2 margin collapse thesis, and the broader narrative that commodity AI is coming for the frontier labs, is stated with a lot of confidence in the HN community today. The assumption is that benchmark performance is converging, and therefore pricing power will converge, and therefore the business models of the major Western AI labs are in serious trouble.
I'll push back on that framing. Let me make the strongest case for why the margin collapse thesis might be significantly overstated. First, benchmarks are not products. The history of enterprise software is littered with technically superior challengers who won on benchmarks and lost in the market because they couldn't match the incumbent on integration, support, regulatory compliance, or simply the risk profile that enterprise procurement committees require. The Western labs, especially Anthropic and OpenAI, have built substantial infrastructure around enterprise trust, SOC 2 certifications, HIPAA compliance frameworks, audit logging, data residency guarantees. A Chinese origin model, regardless of its benchmark performance, faces a structurally different regulatory and trust environment in North American and European enterprise markets.
That's a real point. But here's the assumption embedded in that defense that I'd probe. It assumes that the enterprise trust moat is durable and growing. Consider what would need to be true for the moat to erode. The EU is pushing hard for AI regulatory frameworks that emphasize transparency and auditability, and their framework doesn't automatically favor American labs over Chinese ones. If European regulators require specific audit capabilities that all AI providers must meet, they're essentially leveling the compliance playing field. A Chinese lab that invests in meeting EU AI Act requirements is, from a European procurement perspective, equivalently compliant.
Fair. And there's a second assumption worth examining, the idea that inference cost is the primary driver of pricing power. The margin collapse thesis implicitly assumes that AI value is primarily in the generation of tokens and that token generation is becoming commoditized. But the trend in enterprise AI has been moving toward agents, orchestration, and reliable multi-step reasoning. Those capabilities aren't benchmarked well by current evals, and they may require model architectures and fine-tuning approaches that aren't captured in the GLM-5.2 comparison.
So here's the concrete signal to watch. If the margin collapse thesis is correct, you'd expect to see OpenAI and Anthropic enterprise contract renewal rates declining, not just pricing pressure on new contracts. Renewals are the clearest signal of actual lock-in versus theoretical lock-in. The other signal is whether Google uses Gemini to establish multimodal enterprise contracts, vision, code, text, structured data, that create the kind of integrated dependency that makes switching more costly, regardless of per-token pricing.
And if the margin collapse is more real than we're crediting, the signal would be in the hyperscaler AI revenue disclosures. Microsoft breaks out some AI metrics. Google shows Gemini API trends in cloud segment growth. If those numbers show decelerating growth despite expanded use cases, that would suggest pricing pressure is winning over volume expansion. Watch the Q3 earnings calls in October.